money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I am ready to talk money.
Awesome. Well, this is the show where we talk about the hard issues around money. Today's show, I'm going to jump right into the details because I'm so excited about our guests today. This is a topic and what we're going to talk about. Yes, I'm setting the stage. Is huge for us. This is get ready to experience hope and freedom this morning. That's where I'm just laying that
that's
out there.
Really
get
great.
Ready
yeah,
to experience
really thing.
hope and freedom. So want to give a shout out to the Brent Vandermeer and the team at Crosspoint Financial. They're the sponsor for today's show. They are a boutique financial advising company. They do a whole bunch of stuff. If you've got some questions or you've got some money that you want to invest or you want to I'm going to say anything about wealth generation, Brent and his team, I think, cover it all. So check him out at crosspointfinancial.ca.
And you can hear him. He came on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so. Brent's a regular guest. So, yes.
Go back and listen. Okay.
Can we jump right in? I'm so excited.
Well, if you really want to, but I was going to read a scripture
Oh,
verse.
Okay. Read the Bible.
Actually,
can we introduce our guests
Okay,
first?
Go ahead. Yes. You're so excited. Go ahead.
I am excited. So this morning, we have with us Amanda. Yes, she's family. So
Amanda Van, I don't know. Is it Van Oppen still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Van Oppen still.
Just checking.
So give us a 2-minute, Amanda. What do you do? And don't introduce the topic because, you know,
I'll keep that secret.
Yes. Okay. Good.
Hi, everybody. I'm Amanda. I am the niece of Reb and Dave, and I'm a psychotherapist in the Ottawa Valley. I do in-person and virtual and nature-based therapies. Mm-hmm. And I also like to talk a lot about mental health and how that might affect our daily lives. So I'm excited to be on the show today.
And really, we have these conversations when we're together. So you get to join us today. So pull up, have a coffee and go, this is what happens when Amanda comes over and we sit down at the table and go, let's talk about money and brain and our spirit and soul and the whole meal deal. So it's fun.
So I'm going to read a verse from Isaiah 61 and it says, a couple of them. So verse 10 says, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with a clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding or a bride with her jewels. The sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring with plants springing up everywhere. And you're like, I know Dave's going to say, what does this have to do with anything? But I love the verse. I'm overwhelmed with joy in the Lord. He has dressed me with the clothing of salvation, draped me with a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding or a bride with her jewels. I want us to keep that picture in mind. Because a few verses before it, in verse 7, this chapter is all about the salvation of the Lord and what that looks like for his people. And there's one verse that says, instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. Mm. So, and then it goes into what we're clothed with. And I want us to keep the picture of being dressed as a bride or a bridegroom on their wedding day. If any of you are married out there, and you remember that day and it was a good day. Remember what that felt like. Because we're going to talk about some things around money that bring us the opposite feelings of being a bride or bridegroom and are difficult to walk through. So we've asked Amanda here and David is very excited. So he can
do we get to burst the bubble now?
Yeah,
go ahead. Go ahead.
So I am going to back up just one step because verse 7 in you know the is God's heart and his desire. Like this whole chapter 61 is about God's desire to bless his people and to bring them into a good place and all that. But verse 7 says, instead of your shame, you'll have double honor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, so this is a gift from God.
Yeah.
And recognizing that, you know, And this is, yes, I'm introducing the topic, as we find ourselves in a shame space, or maybe we're burdened by guilt. And that happens with money an awful lot, right? I did it wrong. That didn't turn out the way I wanted to. You know, there's all, we're going to get into some of those details. But here God is saying, and God is so practical, even in these verses, the journey of the Israelites is practical, moving through into a promised land. And then, you know, one of the promises, he says, instead of your shame, God is going to give you double honor. Instead of confusion, you shall rejoice in your portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. I want you to pay a little bit of attention to the, they shall rejoice in their portion. So much time when we talk about money, we're thinking, oh, all I need is more. Or look over there, they have more. And that, again, leads us to this kind of shame, guilt. I made the mistake. They did make a mistake. We're going to talk a lot about that. But here God is literally addressing this and saying, it is God that gives us the double portion. It is God that brings clarity out of confusion. And it is God that is saying, you know, when you are going about your daily business, I do want to lead you into a double portion. But guess what? It may not be the same for you, Amanda, for us, for you who are listening. You can't compare that portion, right? You know, because again, that's a whole different show. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about that shame and guilt and how that interplay happens around money.
So what is shame exactly? I think all of us have an idea of what that feels like, but what is it?
I feel like that is a great place to start, right? Because we do know the feeling of it. And it was interesting when we were all talking, even before the show, we were all like almost nervous to talk about it. And I think that's part of the core of shame. It says, hide me away, keep me quiet. If you talk about me, something bad will happen. And shame really is, when we zoom out and look at it, really it's just a response. When we feel like we've done something wrong, we feel shame. When something bad has happened and we don't quite understand it, sometimes we feel shame. And shame doesn't have to be something that connects with us. But because part of shame is, I need to feel small, I need to hide, shame tends to grow and it becomes, it can become really toxic really quickly because it attaches to our identity. And we say, like, it's not just a mistake. It's that feeling of like, I am the mistake, right? It becomes, it becomes an identity. And I think then we feel like we have to hide so much of us.
So I want to say that again, that shame attaches to our identity. That's really a poignant statement. I think we can all, if we stop and think for a moment on this morning or afternoon or evening, that you're willing to go there and listen to this show, like how does that affect our life? And we were also talking about the feelings of guilt, and we wanted to just differentiate between those two. So could you speak to that?
Yeah. And I think it makes a really important distinction because they feel very similar sometimes, right? It's that almost feeling in our stomach where we're like, oh, like that did not go the way I wanted it to go. Or someone's upset at me. I feel like I've let someone down. And guilt is a responsibility taking emotion. It often can lead us actually to action that says, like, if I actually step into the guilt, if I don't avoid it and let it go to shame, it actually says, yeah, I made a mistake. Okay, what's the next step? Okay, let me take accountability. Let me apologize. Let me do something different, right? The difference being it doesn't have to attach to us.
Right.
So I made a mistake. The mistake is a behavior. It is something that is externalized. Shame says, but I am the mistake. And then we're stuck. Where do we go if it's us?
Then our thinking towards ourselves is like horrible. Then we're walking around thinking we are a mistake. And then how does that, and even if it's just one area of behavior in our life, like money, if we're feeling that way about money, it can trickle into other areas of our lives or vice versa.
I think that's, you know, again, when we introduce money into this shame and guilt, I love what you said, because I made a mistake with money, and the consequences, there are consequences.
For sure.
I'm losing money. Go on. Right. So there are consequences, but guilt says, okay, you know, as you said, motivates me to say, you know, what is my reaction to it? I made the mistake, and now we got to work to fix the mistake. Whereas shame is I am the mistake.
Yeah.
So it's like this piling on. It's like the cloud over your head that's raining just
yes.
on you. That's shame, right?
Yeah.
Whereas guilt, hey, we can navigate still, right?
Yeah.
I can outrun the cloud.
Yeah.
I want to just read the Brené Brown. She's you can look her up, but she has done a lot of research around shame.
Yes.
And around a lot of things. And she says that shame is the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging.
Yeah.
We feel like something we've experienced, done, or failed to do makes us unworthy of connection.
Yeah.
And I want to bring that up because I'm thinking of a couple, let's say, who's having a money discussion, and one says to the other, you did what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and it makes it a place where, okay, well, you've taken all you can to confess this thing that you've hidden. And then the response from your partner is one of more piling. You
yes.
already can feel bad. And then your partner or someone else can just say, like, you know, we do it in the church often enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're a spender, like, oh, like, why, you know, you got to be frugal to be holy.
Yeah.
Which is a whole other show too. But that feeling of not belonging or
yeah.
like, what, can you speak to that?
Yeah. I think that's the thing that shame really whispers to us, right? Mm-hmm. Like the dark voice, like in the back of our head that says, like, if someone found out about this, like, they wouldn't want to be with me.
Oh,
like, they wouldn't love me. They wouldn't care for me, right? And that creates the hiding, I think, because it says, I want connection. I don't want to not belong. And so in order to belong, I feel like I can't show this section of me, or I can't admit this part of me, or if I did step out, I would lose the things that matter to me. And I think we do a lot to stay in connection. You know, humans in connection.
We
that's
do.
What we need, right?
And I'm just thinking of the church in general. So someone comes to Christ for the first time, sees all this holiness floating
yeah.
around, and then they're like, oh, I don't measure up. So
yeah.
on the outward, you just start showing this way, okay, I've got to be like this, like this, like this. And inwardly, like, how many of us are feeling that? But then on the other hand, we can speak to, well, how can we create a space where it's okay? Yes, you belong no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's what Jesus did. People were like drawn to him because he just says, come. And he took people as they were. And that's hard.
Yes, it is hard.
Because we all have our ideas like, oh, you know, this is the way you should be doing your money. So why aren't you? And oh man, I've had to learn a lot about that. I'm still learning, but.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, throwing the, how does money interact into that? And then we begin to do posture. So
yeah.
I'm going to go buy that BMW, or I'm going to
yes.
go spend money that I don't have to hide the real me.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, again, some of when you're thinking about those money decisions, and especially in a couple, I know Reb pretty well, but if you're in a spot where you're feeling some of that shame or even that guilt, you sometimes make money decisions that you wouldn't normally make,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And then you go, I don't even know really why I did that.
Yeah.
But now I've compounded again. So, you know, then again, if a spouse comes at you and says, well, you knew we didn't have the money and you went and did it anyway. It's like, what were you thinking? And I'm like, well, I don't know. What was I thinking? Right.
But I love that how you say, because we use compounding interest all the time. And you have said it a couple times today, even before the show, that shame compounds against us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know if you have any examples or
yeah.
about that.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, even in very simple things, I remember a while ago we had to cut our budget down, which inherently can feel a bit shameful, right? When you suddenly can't spend money and stuff like that. And I remember my friends wanted to go out for dinner, and I had like a choice there, because I was like, oh, I really know I can't afford to go. Right. But there's something very shameful about saying to somebody like, I can't afford, and being honest and being authentic. Right. Yeah. But then I went, I spent the money. Right. And then I felt a bit of shame even during that time. I didn't enjoy the time. But then going back to my partner, right, and saying, oh, yeah, I went to dinner. Oh, yeah, I spent money. Oh, now I feel shame about that. Right.
Yeah.
And then the next time I spent money, then I felt actually more shame.
Wait.
Right. Even if it was in budget. Yeah. Even if it was because I had
it's
already
on a different line item, and you're going, because, oh, I should make up for it. Somehow.
I should make up for it. I need to be a bet. I need to do something better. Right. And it becomes that if I can fix it, if I can cover it up, if I can somehow, you know, and it does, it spirals quickly.
And that is such a huge, if I can fix it.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, I mean, again, for a guy, right? So some responsibility, the traditional role of, you know, I'm going to, you know, take care of my family. That's part of my responsibility as the man of the house will say. And then going, okay, I made a mistake, or I made a choice, and now I can fix it. I can fix it. I can fix it. And I think I can hear the audience resonating kind of saying, yes, I've done that. And yes, I've also been in that relationship where the other spouse is saying, don't worry, I can fix this. I can fix this, right? And you're going, you know, one of the tools that we talk about, and this is, you know, shame and guilt lead to that hiding, to that lying, to that avoiding.
Yeah.
And, you know, having someone in your life who loves you, quite literally loves you enough to say, hey, you can't fix this alone.
Yeah.
We have to fix this together.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, you're mistaken. And I'm going to share a story. I think we've shared this one before, but there was season, it's about the outdoor boiler, and I went out and I was shopping, and we decided we weren't going to buy it at that point, but I kept shopping, right? So, and then I'm hiding it.
Yes.
And then I invited a buddy over who picked me up to go look at one that was really close. Yeah. And Reb's like, what is going on? I thought we decided not to do this. Like we did have this conversation. She's thinking that. She's told me that since. But, you know, I'm going, Mark and I are just going out, right? You know, but there was a problem, and that was, we wanted to heat the house and so I'm fixing something, but it's all under this cloud of shame. Yeah. And then it turned to guilt, and then
no, it was guilt that turned to shame.
Guilt that turned to shame.
Yeah.
Well, and anyways, there was lots of hiddenness there, and there was lots of, and in the end, right? So that, again, the end of the story is Reb forgave me. She's still with me, which is really good. And it didn't work out very well, right? And yet God was gracious, and we made our way through. And
it did in the end, because we did talk about it. We brought it out in the open. I'm like, and I claimed it's not about me doing something wonderful, but it was more helpful for me to say, we're in this together, so how are we going to get out of it?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Because the boiler had broken it, you know, in the end. I mean, we can speak to that another time, but in the beauty of it, we did seek forgiveness together. We did bring our family together. We prayed. You know, we'll talk about more about that later, about what that looks like when you come to the Lord and you can say sorry, and he promises forgiveness to us, right? He's a safe place. Mm-hmm. He's the safest non-shame place we can go. But before we get to that, what are the steps? Like, I don't, what do we need to, you know, we're approaching the end of the show. What are the steps to get us out of the shame cycle? Because this is the hopeful part, right?
So
what's the first thing we can do?
So the shame cycle typically goes, right? We get a trigger, something that makes us feel or brings us back to either an old feeling of shame.
Right.
Right. Yep. It reminds us, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not a mistake. And it typically triggers thoughts. The thoughts typically say, it's me, I'm bad, I'm the mistake, you know, I can't do this, that type of thing. those trigger feelings, right? It's that loneliness. It's that feeling of I'm not good enough. Those feelings lead to the behaviors. And those are the behaviors we see, right? Yeah. And those are the ones we feel frustrated, avoid, lie, that sort of thing. And those ones typically breed more shame, right? As we avoid.
So it's just feel, this.
And we start to go into that cycle.
My girls always say, Mom, you're in a shame spiral. Like,
yeah.
Like, stop.
Yeah.
They actually call it out in me. Yeah.
Which is beautiful, I think, right? Because it allows us to actually
If you have the but then you have to have the courage to step outside of it and say, oh, yeah, this is, and my children who are younger than me are seeing it and they're calling me on it. And it's like, do I have the maturity to say, yeah, okay, how do I get out of this?
Yeah.
But anyway, so there's the cycle. So what do we do?
So really what I like to do is I say we can interrupt each step of that cycle, right? So like the first thing is even that trigger and as our bodies react to it, you can kind of feel when you start to go into a shame cycle and your bodies will actually do this thing. Like we will like round ourselves. We will make ourselves like small. Like that is the shame. And there's actually quite a lot of science behind how we go into this like fawning, freezing mode in shame because we're looking to be small. So even the awareness of naming it, of saying, this thing happened and I am immediately having a shame reaction about it, makes a huge difference, right? Because we can then make some choices there. I'm having a shame reaction. Mm-hmm. Okay, I need connection. I need empathy. I need to step out of shame and into guilt, right? I feel responsible for this or I don't want this to happen. Okay, again. What do I do next? Yeah. And we want to then depersonalize the shame, right? Mm-hmm. So oftentimes when we get those thoughts and those emotions, they start to get closer and closer to us. And they feel really, really personal. And that I am a mistake. I can't do this. And so we want to pull it out from us. And I often use like the imagery of literally pulling it out in front of us and saying like, okay, this action feels so close. My body's closing around it. And I want to pull it out in front of me and I want to look at it. And that's scary, like you said. It's the courage of it, right?
It is so hard.
To look at it.
Yeah. And Amanda, for those of you who can't see, is actually like pulling it out of her chest and holding it in her hands for those of you who aren't watching. But the courage to do that. And then you have it and you're holding it. Then what?
Yeah. And then we need to meet it with a certain amount of empathy, right? Mm. One thing that we tend to do, and this could be a whole different show about the inner critic, right?
Yes.
Right. That comes out and then says, so we pull this vulnerable piece out of us and we look at it and we say, oh, like this was scary. Like I didn't want to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, this didn't feel good for me. Mm-hmm. And if we immediately start to criticize it and we say, you know, this is bad. Back in the shame cycle. So we have to meet it with a certain amount of empathy and care and love for ourselves. And ideally, we have other people meet us there too.
So I'm taking it out and I'm saying, okay, I just spent $150 more than we had planned. Yeah. I bought something we didn't need. Yeah. I just really liked it. And now like, okay, I spent it and now I've been hiding it from Dave.
Yes.
And I'm holding it. And then I walk gently over to Dave and say, will you hold this with me? Because this feels really hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Is that?
That's scary, right?
Yeah, it is.
I think it is really scary. Well,
and I'll come at it from the opposite side. So I see the Visa bill. So now I know.
Yeah, you know.
Right. So I know.
And I'm like, I can't hide that.
She's alone. And again, shame is, it, you know, keeps you alone. It keeps, you know, thrives in the silence, so to speak. So. But it thrives in the silence. So now I go, okay, how do I approach Reb? Because if neither one of us actually says something, then that shame, and even if I go and pay the Visa bill and say, okay, well, it doesn't matter. We'll figure it out. Now I'm actually
kind of hiding too.
Perpetuating that shame and guilt because I don't say, hey, and this is, again, I'm so happy you talked about empathy. You can tell that for those of you that are listening, this is really navigating this. I see the Visa bill and I have to exercise my empathy muscle and not compound guilt and shame and go, okay, how do I walk into that? And again, that's a whole different show.
Yeah.
How do we start that conversation that really does need to be started?
Yep.
Because we're not going to move past that, even if I just go pay it.
Yes. Yes. And I think even that awareness of, if you know your wife, your husband well, recognizing their signs of shame, right? And sometimes those signs of shame kind of, we almost want to move away from it because kind of naturally we all feel a little bit of shyness around shame. So when we see our spouse walking around and they got that hiding and you can sense that they don't feel good about something, I think our natural inclination is to step away. But we have to step in. Right? Wow. We have to step in and work towards connection.
And I think one of the things that, I see in terms of when we're working with clients is the timing of that is really important as well. You know, we talk about the financial date, and that's a time where it's safe. This is a time where we know we're going to talk about money. And for us, just on a practical sense, you know, as we're talking about the steps, you know, and I'm going to name them. So name the shame, depersonalize the shame. You talked about that. Reinterpret the shame. And and this is where that conversation begins to come in. But having a financial date where you know, okay, we're going to talk about this now. And again, I'm not going to let you avoid it, Reb. I'm not going to avoid it, Dave. It's going to be a little bit awkward at the beginning.
I think using a word like, can we talk about like this? I noticed there's something on the visa. Are you okay to talk about it? Like, what was this for?
Yeah.
Just not why questions maybe, but like, tell me about this.
Yeah.
What were you feeling about that? Cause we didn't really have a plan for it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a gentle way to say it. I know we're coming winding down, but.
And we're just talking about, that's the fourth step is talking about the shame, right? Like that is the fourth step. And then finally choosing a course of action. And again, I'm going to link that. And I'm going to take a few seconds here as I recap, but we're going to have more of a conversation about this with you, Amanda. This is going to be bonus material. If you're listening on the podcast or you're listening on the radio, you are not going to hear this. You have to go to the YouTube channel, and we're going to post it there on the YouTube channel. So that special bonus feature that we're going to talk about. So
that things we haven't talked about yet.
Things we haven't talked about. So. I'm going to go down these steps because I think it's really important to just go in them. Name the shame.
Yeah.
You know, depersonalize the shame. And then, you know, reinterpret the shame. Talk about the shame and then choose a course of action. And I'm going to link that to, you know, the financial date. We talk about this, we talk about a money meeting and we say, this is the forum. It's a safe place where you get to talk about money and you can work through some of these steps as you do that. And so if you're listening and you're like, what is Dave talking about a financial date? We have done podcast about the financial date. If you still need some help, there's tons of information on our website with the blog. And we only have a few minutes left, so Reb.
I know. Thank you, Amanda, for being here. And no, we're going to continue this conversation a little bit. So I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you that you have clothed us with robes for bridegrooms and brides, that you have brought salvation and redemption to us so that we do not carry shame, that when we experience guilt, we can bring it to you. Thank you so much for this time. And we thank you for it. Amen.
And thank you to Brent and the team at Crosspoint Financial. And thank you for listening and join us next time when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.